Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, welcome back to Author Talk. And we are pleased today, No Sheet and Hey Good and myself, that we have with us Shimmya here. Welcome, sister, and we are really thrilled to have you here today. You're welcome. We look forward to hearing more about you and your books. Today she'll be discussing Beauty Hero. Is that right? Is that I'm saying it right?
Beautiful and hero. Beautiful and hero.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And the interview will be handled by our own Anoshi Haygood. All right, Anoshi, it's on you.
Hello, hello. How are you tonight?
I'm great.
Awesome, awesome. I'm going to, like we said, we're discussing your book, Beautiful and Hero. We're going to do some of the first one and some of the second one, Love and Devotion, as well.
Okay.
It was a very beautiful book, but I'm going to give a brief history of you. You were born in Chattanooga, Tennessee. You were raised in Gießen, Germany.
Yes.
And you started writing when you were since you were 12 years old. And your inspiration was Edgar Allan Poe, because he write in first person. I thought that was real interesting, because I don't see many people that write in first person anymore.
And, I found it very easy to do. I found it much easier to do than writing in third person.
I can't do it. Third person all the way. First person, by the time I get to, like, the second or third line, I'm already in third person. So that's a real talent. Okay, you majored in criminal justice and social science, and you now live in Atlanta. How did you come from writing to writing from criminal justice?
Well, I've always written. Like, I've been writing since I was 12, so writing was a hobby. Criminal justice, however, was my passion. I wanted to actually be an FBI agent when I was younger, ever since I watched The Fugitive with Harrison Ford.
Okay.
And, yeah, I got glued after I saw that. And it wasn't even just the fact of the actors. It was the layout of the story. I was like, yeah, that's where I want to be. And so I went into criminal justice and decided that's what I was going to do. I changed life change. I made life changing movements. After that, I was like, okay, I don't hang around these people, that people, this. I don't do this. I don't do that. I wasn't doing anything to keep me from getting into the field.
That's right.
But I went to school. I graduated from Chattahoochee Technical College in 2004, and I tried to get into the field, but, you know, it's like a catch-22. You either got it or you don't. You either got the degree or you got the experience. And if you have the experience, then you don't have the degree. So I just kept on going to school and then trying to get higher and higher. And then I started getting into security to get a little bit of background under my belt. And it just was a process. It was just a process. But while I was doing all of that writing, I still did writing. I still wanted to write. Criminal justice has gave me more accurate information to use when I did write. Made it more realistic.
Yeah.
So,
that's important.
Yeah.
That's important.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it says here that you like complicated characters and internal dramas.
I do.
You wrote something on your bio that I liked, and it says, thoughts of an author create, inspire, and introduce society to a world of imagination.
Yes.
I like that. And when you wrote that, what were you thinking? What were you feeling when you wrote that quote?
When I wrote it, I felt, when I decided that I wanted to write this, when I actually wrote the book, I was looking at all the different genres of writing that was out there. Now, when I grew up, there was a whole bunch of creative authors. They would always expand people's minds to another world. And after a while, I found it saturated with just the same thing. And I was just like, no, I need to, you know, we got other stuff we can talk about. You know, it's not just the small stuff that you see every day on TV. We got other stuff we can talk about that you may not have known happen in the black community or happen in the world, period. Criminal justice opened my mind to a whole plethora of different scenarios, situations, and conflicts that go on with people, with humans, period. So I was like, yeah, we're going to introduce them to a whole different type of, you know, a whole different type of world that they'll be like, oh my, they'll still get the drama, the suspense, everything you love, but, you know, just a different approach on it.
That's good. Now we're going to start getting into this book.
Okay.
The book was awesome. I'm going to read the synopsis, and we're going to dive into it. Okay?
Okay.
It's called Beautiful and Hero. Mm-hmm. Carla Michelle Jacobs believes she lives a normal 28-year-old life. She's educated, considers herself successful in her career field in banking. Yes, Carla feels she has her life pretty much together until she goes out with her friends one night and gets mugged in the restaurant parking lot. As Carla watches her life flash before her eyes, she is suddenly rescued by the devilish handsome Darius Kinnear. Kinnear Phillip.
His name is Darius
Kinnear. Now, see, I'd have never got that, girl. She instantly falls for the one she affectionately calls Hero. There is just one problem with her instant love. He is only in the 11th grade. From then on, Carla goes on a romantic roller coaster ride in her relationship with Darius. Even though her better judgment tells her that she should end, that she could end up in prison, Carla continues to fall for Darius anyway. As their relationship flourishes, Carla learns the complexities of dating a younger man. Throughout their relationship, Carla endures how Darius' mother, his friends, her family, her friends, and even herself feels about their relationship, about her relationship. Darius is like no man Carla has ever met before. His love and devotion for her makes it hard for Carla to walk away in the end. When it's all said and done, Carla ultimately learns through her hero, does age really matter when it comes to matters of the heart? I've read both of the books. Girl, at first I was like, ooh, he was only what? Only 16? But when I began to read it, you know, there was some parts in there that I started to relate to. And it was so well written that it actually, the way that he was portrayed, is like you actually forgot that that's his age. Like, he set the bar for most young men.
I tried to give you a more positive outlook on a male. For most series that I read, you know, you were always talking about the lowdown dog, this, that, and the third, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, okay, I don't want, you know, all men to have a bad rap. And I don't want all teenagers to either. I know some very highly intelligent teenagers. And one of the things that I drew into it was the fact that he was a military kid. Now, not all military kids are good kids, but most of them are. They got that strict, you know, military background. They have to mature much faster and quicker because they have to go from place to place and they get more cultured about different things, so they have a better open-minded outlook on things. So, yeah, I made Darius's character like that. I made him just like, okay, he's mature, but also the circumstances inside the story that actually pushes him to that level.
Now, when you was writing this book, was there actually, I guess, real-life people that you were writing kind of into fiction, or is the whole thing just totally fiction?
Fiction.
Okay. I don't know if anybody can actually be that perfect as the writer. I can't even lie. So it has to be, it was good. Let me see. What is your least favorite character in this book?
My least favorite character in the book.
Hello?
I don't want to give... Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't want to give away nothing. But let's see. I think my least favorite character was probably a mom, which is Alexandria. She's probably my least favorite character in the story.
I can see that. I mean, yeah.
I have another one, but like I said, I don't want to give it away yet.
Okay. Now, who's your favorite character in this book?
Ooh. Well, you know, popular people love Franco. That's their dude. And to be honest with you, I did too. I really enjoyed placing him in the story.
Mm-hmm.
He's not really a main character. He's more, you know, saying he's a supporting character, but you know that you have movies where the supporting characters were almost as big as the main characters. And he is definitely one of my favorites in the book. I mean, Carla and Darius are definitely my favorites too. But yeah, he's definitely one of my favorites.
I can tell that you put a whole lot of passion in this book, because every character, like, they really had they brought their own emotions.
Oh yeah.
And so
when I write characters, they all have their, you know, if you hear about a character more than twice, that person's showing up again. So Franco had to be, you know what I'm saying, he's the best friend, so we had to have him in there. He had to have his say. Everybody had to have their own personalities. Everybody can't just go along with everything, because in real life, no one really just goes along with everything you say. We might agree with you, but we'll still tell you that we disagree with you too.
And you know, when I was reading it, to me, Franco was like, you know, he is the bad boy.
Yes.
You know, but even though he was the bad boy, he was just so down for Darius. You know, like, he was always there for him, and I love that. Like, to see two African-American males going hard for one another like that. And even though they wasn't real brothers, you would have never known.
Yes, they grew up together. I explained that in the story, that they grew up together. Franco didn't have a father. Darius grew up with his Air Force, you know, his dad was in the Air Force. So when they grew up together, Darius' father said, no, that's your brother. He was like, he's not your friend, he's your brother. I pulled him into our family. He is part of our family. So it gave, you know what I'm saying, it was that positive influence for another young man who didn't have any.
Now, when you was writing this book, because like I told you, I see all the passion throughout the book. Was there like a specific location that you wanted to write in? Did you use candles? Did you listen to jazz? What actually did you do while writing this book to get into it and to listen and to hear from your character?
It's funny. My characters speak to me. I don't really get to just come up with them. They speak to me. They let me know what they want. And I was at work when I wrote this. And I was just listening to different types of music. And one of the songs particularly was Dondria's You're the One for Me. It's called You're the One. And I really liked the elements of that story, because it kind of fits Carla's mindset throughout the whole story. You know, she's going through this up and down roller coaster, but she just can't seem to let go of him. And she sees it more and more as she keeps going through each little battle to be with him. So, yeah, that was, you know, I listened to that. I listened to a lot of different romantic music on Darius's end, but I also had a couple of, like, hip-hop songs that, you know, I listen to Nas and, you know, things of that nature, Common. So they actually have their own, you know, everybody has their own little song they wanted me to listen to at the time when I was writing one of their parts.
Okay. Now, how long did it take you to actually write book one?
2 weeks.
Really?
Yeah, I actually wrote Beautiful and Hero and most of Love and Devotion within those 2 weeks.
Wow, girl, you have a talent. Oh my gosh, because it's like I said, it's so well written and it's so well thought of. You know, I would have thought you would have said a year.
No, it won't take me. It really doesn't take me long to write a story. It's probably the longest part it actually probably takes is ending it.
See, yeah, you have a talent. That is awesome. Now, are you published with anyone, or are you an indie author?
I'm just an indie author.
How do you like being an indie author?
you got the, you know, you got your pros and your cons. Pros is I, you know, there's no deadline. I when I'm finished, I'm finished. You know, I'm a mother of two. I work, trying to get another job at the moment and everything else, and I don't like to be boggled down with deadlines. I like to have, like, free range and open. That's one of the plus sizes of it, and, you know, it's got a lot of freedom to it. And the downside is I don't really get to publicize like I want to. You know, I don't get to promote as much as I want to. So people find out about me or they don't find out about me by word of mouth, by the internet, and I'm trying to get my website up. So, you know, but I don't have anyone pushing for me every day, feeling my name out there. So you have your pros and your cons, but for right now, it's going pretty okay.
Awesome. Now, who does your book design? Because that book design was beautiful.
Oh, thank you. Deshaun Taylor, he's one of the CEOs for HotBookCovers.com. He got in touch with me because actually Beautiful Hero is this particular cover is actually a second edition. The first edition cover I wasn't crazy about. And I went through Author House when I did the first time. But Author House was, you know, a self-publishing company. They charged you for every little change, every little this, every little that. And I was not about to spend thousands and thousands of dollars for you to get it right. So I remember when I wrote Beautiful Hero in 2011, when I published it in 2011, that I was like, I don't like this cover. I just don't. So I didn't promote it. I was like, I don't like the cover. And I didn't see it really attracting anyone. And I was like, this wasn't even my real thought or design in the beginning. So when I got with Deshaun, I said, I want to go back to my original design. And he just made it come to life. He was like, I couldn't have done it without you. He's like, you have the most craziest, wildest imagination when it comes to these book covers, and they're all different. I was like, well, let me try to.
Well, I'm going to be honest with you. When I read the book, those characters, I can actually see those people. So, like, they're the perfect people when it comes to your book. And talking about that, we want you to read, like, one of your favorite passages or, you know, parts of your book to us. We want to hear it.
Oh, okay. Give me two. Okay, I don't think I was. I apologize. I'm ill prepared.
And we want to remind our readers, too, to purchase Shamia's books on Amazon. So we encourage you to support all the offices on Author Talk. Okay?
Yeah, thank you. Give me 2 seconds.
You wouldn't be, I mean, you're not going to be disappointed at all in any of her writing. It's great. She's a great author, and I would tell anyone, you know, to go. If you want something, when you sit down, you can't stop reading it, these two books is the book for you.
Okay, one of my favorite passages. I guess, let's see, I don't have a favorite passage per se that's personally from it. But, okay, hold up. I'm sorry, I was ill prepared for this part. Well, I mean, I don't have a passage, but I can tell you one part of the book that I actually did, that I wrote, that I actually really liked. I'll tell you a chapter that I was really into. I like the chapter where I feel that Carla decides that she wants to stand her ground. It's where she's about to lose her best friend, Angela Green. And they have that conversation about you know, she didn't. She thought everybody else was going to just, you know, she knew the people that was going to fall off the wayside and not support her to the very end. And, but she didn't think her best friend would. You know, you always assume that your best friends are going to just, you know, when you have a best friend, they're going to stay your best friend no matter what. And in that chapter, she realizes that she really does have to understand that she might just end up having to do this on her own, and she might lose people due to the fact that she was in love with Dwight. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was really meaningful because we do that just, you know, for real, in reality, we do that. We don't know that our friends are going to support us in all our decisions or in everything that, you know, they're not just going to just stand by us by everything that we decide that we want to do. So that's one of my favorite parts of the book. And I do like how Darius comes in and does the hero thing and comes right on in and explains that he has a friend that did the same thing. So it isn't about age in that aspect. It happened to him. With him being younger, and it happened to her with her friend. So there's a lot of similarities in the story where age didn't matter. They either supported you or they didn't.
Yes. Now, I have a part in the book where he's going to leave. The part where he's going
to leave. Oh, see, I wasn't trying to tell that part. Yeah, okay. Go ahead.
I'm going to say that when he was going to leave and the way he manned up, girl, I was boo-hooing on that part.
Yeah.
I can't have a Darius in my life. Come on, man, you know?
That part is very emotional. I do have some very emotional parts in the story where I show the conflict being the biggest, you know, that they have these small climactic situations where either you're going to see like, oh, my God, they're going to stay, or is she going to go, or da-da-da-da. And one of those is when he thinks that he's just finally fed up and is going to leave. So, that's a real boo-hoo part, a real page turn. It's a real, you know what I'm saying, it's a real emotional scene that they have to go through. And the scene prior to it is bananas.
Mhm. Mhm. We're not gonna give too much of it away because they have got to read it. They have no clue when they get this. Their whole day is gonna change.
Yeah.
Yeah. And when you was writing this, was there anything different that you would do in your writing process of this book?
No, I have actually been physically threatened if I change even a word in that book that I was going to have a problem. So, no.
Yeah. I do agree. don't change a period or don't nothing. Just keep it exactly how it is because it's wonderful, just the way it is. Now, in this writing process, I know sometimes it can get hard. It can get really discouraging. Is there anything that you can tell the upcoming authors that can encourage them to keep going when they want to give up?
First off, always write. If that's your passion, if that's what you want to do, even if it's not your passion, even if it's your hobby, still write. It's a relief. And we need that. You know, some people dance, some people listen to music, some people play video games, whatever the release is. And for some, it's writing. Now, if you want to be an author, you have to understand that you have to understand you got to craft your, you got to brand yourself. You got to make your own way in writing. You know what I'm saying? You have to, you know what I'm saying? You want to strive to be different but be trendy at the same time, which can be difficult. But sometimes different is trendy. So don't ever let anyone tell you that you can't write. Don't let anybody try to distract you with your passion. And keep going. And when you feel like if you feel like you're getting to a dead end or writer's block, then sometimes you just need to step back and read a couple of chapters and go back and see where you wanted it to flow. Because sometimes that usually happens. You think, well, okay, I've got three choices to do, and they're all good choices. well, how do I figure it out? Then you got to listen to your characters on that end. You know, you got to kind of listen to the inner character who's talking and be like, yeah, I want it to go this way. And then keep writing and moving forward on it.
That's good advice. Thank you so much. Now, you do have a third book?
Oh, so this one, yes.
Say it again?
Yes, I do. Beautiful Hero of the Infringed Heart.
I'm ready.
I know. It'll be
like,
out. It's almost done.
I feel like I'm on crack with this girl. I feel like I'm on drugs trying to wait on this book.
Mm-hmm.
But, again, you have paperback and ebook, and they can be found on Amazon.com.
Mm-hmm.
So we just want to tell our listeners and our supporters to go out and support you. It's a wonderful book, and you will not be disappointed. And tonight we had Shamia on, and we want to thank her for coming on. Do you have any shout-outs that you want to give?
Oh, just all my fans, everybody who's left a review. That's another thing. Leave reviews. Good or bad, leave a review. All authors don't like reviews. But some, you know, because we're critical about our own work and when we think it's perfect, that's what we think. But if it's not, go ahead. We understand there are going to be reviews on errors, grammatical situations, and then the third, that just goes back into having a good editor. And we're all learning. It's a learning process. But leave reviews, good or bad. Leave reviews, honest reviews. Don't just, you know, sugarcoat for the author, because somebody's going to hurt their feelings really, really bad, and they're not going to know how to handle it because they're like, well, I got all these great reviews. Leave reviews. I always say leave reviews.
Awesome. And we're going to post all of your Twitter and Instagram and things like that on the page so that people can look you up, and they'll be able to go on your author page and everything. So if anyone wants to look you up, we're going to post that on there, and they can go in there and see it. And we will post it on our individual author pages as well.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Appreciate the love.
Girl, you got to keep on writing. That's the only thing you got to do is write.
I have other things coming out.
Yes, you got to feed my hunger. I'm telling you, you got to feed my hunger. Author Stephanie, is there anything you have to say?
Yes. Okay, we got a little bit over 2 minutes, and I want Shamia to give some new authors something that you learned at the beginning.
Ooh, okay. The first thing I learned was you got to network. I would never know about changing my cover, or if I could change the cover, if I really could bring this book back out without the help of some amazing authors, other authors, Anna Black, Deshaun Taylor, and a few others that I, you know, there's a whole bunch of people on my list. But those people really gave me, you know, Anna, she helped me with marketing stuff. Like, I didn't know where to do to come up with posters and everything, and she helped me with that part. Deshaun did my covers, and, you know, he was real patient with me and got me right through it and explained process to me. So I got to learn, you know, you got to network. You got to network with people. I got
yes,
to meet Anochi, and she's one of my fans, but she's also one of my friends. She, me and her talk about different things on how to make it better all the time.
Yes. You are my inspiration, girl.
And you are mine.
Thank you. Look, don't have me crying because you know I'm a girl. Please.
And please, listeners, please go to Amazon.com and purchase her books. Okay?
That's how
you show love to the authors that's on our show, is by purchasing their books. Because,
and leaving,
you know,
reviews.
And leaving reviews. Please leave reviews. And show encouragement and love to our authors, please. Anything else you got to say, Anochi?
No, that's all. Thank you, Shamia.
Appreciate it.
Thank you. It was an excellent show. Learned a lot about you. Next time you come on, I'll be right there with Anochi.
Yeah. All right. Great.
Okay, good night.
All right, guys, we're closing out. Our next show next week will be with Nyasia Joseph. So stay tuned to next Monday. And good night and goodbye.
Good night.